Welcome back to the Fan Morning Show. Holiday edition. All of you slackers taking the day off while we grind. We're going to be joined by our guy, Ross Tucker. And he's an insider today. This insider brought to you by Don Valley North Lexus, where you can expect excellence online and in the showroom. Visit DonValleyNorthLexus.com. Ross Tucker, former NFL offensive lineman, host of the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, RossTucker.com, at Ross Tucker. Anything Ross Tucker, that's how you can find him. Good morning.
Good morning. Is this a holiday in Canada?
Yeah, it is a holiday.
For what?
For New Year's Day.
So did everybody work on Friday, or it's like an extra day?
You bet we worked on Friday.
Okay.
So this is our holiday.
I think the official holiday day in the United States was Friday. Oh. And so everybody's back at work in school today. But you guys do it the opposite. So people were working on Friday, but they have today off.
I like our way.
Because I like ours too.
Well, our way just ensures right now that you get extra time with your hangovers, right? That if you're me and you're over 30 now, that your hangover lasts 2 days. And so you need that extra day. You need that buffer zone to get you out of the Sunday scaries.
Yeah, I look at it a couple of different ways. Number one, it's nice to have that to look forward to all weekend.
Yeah.
Right? So, you know, all week you're like, you got to get to Friday afternoon, you get to Friday afternoon, and you're like, oh my goodness. Yeah. It's New Year's Eve tonight, New Year's Day tomorrow, NFL Sunday, and no work on Monday. I like the anticipation. I like looking forward to it. Whereas, you know, what did people really do in the States on Thursday night, right? I mean, I don't think they went, because the next night was going to be New Year's Eve. So I don't know that they got as much value out of it. I agree. I'd rather have it on the back end than the front end.
Well, yeah, and especially since Friday is already essentially a day off during the holidays anyways. Like, you're working on a Friday, you're mailing it in. You're mailing it in on that Friday anyways. Baby Friday is Thursday. You're probably having a few drinks that night anyways, and then you're mailing in the Friday, getting the weekend, and all of a sudden it's a four-day weekend. Not me, though. Not Ross Tucker.
No,
not anybody.
Us.
No, not any of us. But other people might, you know, look at it that way. So, Ross, the Bengals, contenders or one-off winners?
Yeah, I think they're contenders, especially in a conference where it looks like the Tennessee Titans are going to be the number one seed, and man, oh man, are their fans mad at me. I realized this last night. Their fans need to go way up in my fan sensitivity rankings, because I tweeted last night, I said the Titans are the worst number one seed since Underline. Like,
ever.
I'm trying to think of it. I mean, they're the worst number one seed in a while. And their fans are – and by the way, right underneath that, I wrote Mike Vrabel, Coach of the Year, because it's amazing to me that they have the number one seed. You know, the last couple of years it's been the Chiefs. Obviously, they've been way better than this Titans team. Even on the NFC, the Packers this year, Packers last year. Yeah, you just go through it and – it's been a number of years, maybe a bunch of years, since a team like the Titans has been the number one. I mean, they've lost to the Jets. They've lost to the Texans. And if you've actually watched them play over the last 10 weeks, they're hard to watch. Now, kudos to them for a great win over the Dolphins. They were 3-point favorites over the Dolphins at home. I mean, think about that. 3-point favorites over the Dolphins at home.
Yeah, I've never really thought that the Titans are very good. I certainly don't think that the Dolphins are very good after that performance. Since they lost Derrick Henry, they lost their identity. I think maybe Brown is a little underrated, but yeah, I don't think anybody considers the Titans to be contenders at any point. That game, though, that Bengals-Chiefs game, fantasy football championships, you end up having those two guys go off for a performance like that, Burrow and Chase. It, to me, now in the modern way that we consume NFL, that does sort of throw a bit of distortion, a little bit of noise into a game like that. And that's sort of where I'm trying to find myself watching that thing is I go, how replicable is this? How replicable is having Ja'Marr Chase have essentially a record-setting day, having Joe Burrow throw that many yards against that Chiefs team, and how it really didn't feel like the Chiefs at all, like in terms of the game didn't feel like it was about the Chiefs in any way. It just felt like it was from the Bengals start to finish. Even though they were down, just the way they got back into it. The way the game ends, too, Ross, where maybe that's what we should talk about next, is Zach Taylor deciding twice in a row to throw the ball instead of do quarterback sneaks to try to get it into the end zone or to not kick the field goal. Maybe this is the way to frame it is, like, is the biggest question mark with the Bengals and actually winning a playoff series their head coach?
Yeah, probably. Now, yeah. In fairness to him,
I think
out of the three or four plays before that, I know they quarterback sneaked at least twice.
Yeah.
And hadn't gotten in. You know?
But do you think they were trying to get in? Because it really did look like they were trying to bleed the clock and that they didn't want to, that they didn't actually want the touchdown until it was third down or fourth down.
No, I think they were trying to get in.
Okay.
I don't know. I have to look at it again. I guess I wasn't looking at it that closely, but I think they were trying to get in. Maybe not. Maybe they just didn't want to lose any yardage and then thought they could get on third down, but that's a dicey proposition to play. But honestly, I kind of think that they're right there in the mix with the other teams. I mean, the Chiefs, the Bills, the Patriots. Do I envision the Bengals winning three in a row? Probably not, no. But I think the Chiefs or the Bills would have a better chance of doing that than would the Bengals. But I think that they're right there in the mix with those teams. I mean, it's a bunch of 11-5, 10-6 teams. And I think the only team that, out of that group that still stands out to me is the Chiefs. I know they lost yesterday, but I still think they're the best team.
So you talk about the Bills, and they clinched a playoff win yesterday, and they could become AFC East champs if they can beat the Jets next week. But when we're looking at potential playoff opponents, there's a couple different positions that they can land in. But I guess right now the most likely opponent would be the Patriots. And so my question to you is, who would you be most worried about the Bills facing, even though it feels like they're kind of peaking at the right time right now? Is it the Patriots?
Yeah, I hate that. I wish they weren't going to play them. You know,
same.
I don't like when a division opponents have to play each other in the first round of the playoffs. You know, it just kind of feels like, hey, let's both play somebody else. Maybe we can both win and show that our division's good. But it might not unfold that way. Now we'll see how things play out because there's still, you know, some machinations that have to happen. But yeah, I wouldn't be thrilled about that if I were the Bills. They did beat the Patriots recently, but I think we've seen it's not overly easy to beat the same team twice in a short amount of period. I think the Patriots just realized that when they went to try to beat the Bills a second time. Mm-hmm. And also, you know, the Bills won that game, but Josh Allen was incredible. The thing I've noticed about the Bills, and Greg Cosell talks about this all the time, the NFL film, the NFL matchup guru, on my Thursday Ross Tucker football podcast, he says that they are the most quarterback-centric and dependent team in the NFL. Now, certainly, like, obviously the Packers lean on Rodgers and all these teams lean on their quarterbacks. We get that. But it just feels like they're in real trouble if Josh Allen doesn't play at a super high level. And, you know, it's just hard to do that. It's hard to sustain that every time. And maybe you can do it against the Patriots, but then can you do it two more games? I don't know. Now, they did get a little bit more of a running game with Singletary yesterday, which I thought was good. And that's kind of what they need. I feel like they need to not be so dependent on Allen. It'd be nice if they could move the ball a little bit better without him just having to make ridiculous throws or runs.
Yeah, the Falcons are just so soft that it's hard for me to feel like there's a proper gauge for your run game when you're playing that team's defense. So six of the eight divisions are now locked up, and really I could say that that's the case for the AFC East as well, because, come on, if the Bills don't beat the Jets, then I don't know, Ailish. Like, I don't know what to tell you. Like, that just seems so. We've got one division race that's still up in the air, but it's sort of with this underwhelming Cardinals team, even though they got the win. Maybe we'll get into the Cardinals in a second here. But then you look at the other teams that are trying to vie to get into the postseason, and it's really a lot of who really cares. There's no team that's down here that's fighting for a playoff spot in either of these divisions that I really think is going to be able to contend for a title this year, or that's going to be overly interesting, I would say. How do you feel just about the added week of the season? It comes down to the stretch. We basically have everything settled from a divisional standpoint. Do you think this worked out as well as the NFL had hoped? Has it worked out the way that you thought that it would? Just your thoughts on the schedule and how we've ended up in this different looking wild card slash standings picture, and whether it's been a benefit to the NFL.
I think it has been. Well, first of all, the whole reason why they did it is money, and we all know that. It's not like for anything else, right? And that's fine. I mean, you know, everything I do, I'm doing it for an extra week, so I'm on board, right? So okay. Let's make the season 30 games. What do I care? I'm not the one playing. I'm in my house in Pennsylvania talking to you guys on the phone. I mean, but in all sincerity, I think that they probably, if they were being honest, would say that they're a little bit disappointed. Now, the flip side would be over the last few weeks, it seemed like everybody was still in it. And that's not typically the case in like weeks 14, 15, 16, right? Like it seems like it's narrowed down more. But because there was the extra game and all these teams with 6 to 8 wins, and because they have the extra week and the extra playoff spot, there was a lot more teams that felt like they were still in it. But to have so much already decided, and to not have that many games with legitimate intrigue in week 18, I think is probably disappointing for them. I think they probably thought there'd be more up for grabs this last week.
Yeah, it's an interesting one, and it made kind of the Saturday week 18 and the Sunday night week 18 decisions a little tough, I'm sure. And we've got a Saturday afternoon Chiefs at Broncos game that isn't super relevant to what's going on, and we've got the Cowboys Eagles Saturday nighter should be good, and Chargers Raiders on Sunday night. But it was clear there weren't, you know, you have an 11-5 team against a 7-9 team in one of your flex spots. It's clear there weren't a ton of marquee matchups. I guess what I'm curious to hear your take on is there a team that heading into week 18, and I know we still have a game left tonight, a team heading into week 18 that you are still looking for something for, like, is there a team that could move your needle on your playoff confidence still, or are you pretty set on how you feel about these groups?
Yeah, that's a good question. I would say this, by the way, too, even like Saturday night, I don't know how many guys the Eagles are going to play. You know, they've clinched a playoff berth, and I think, yes, theoretically, they could get the number 6 seed if they beat the Cowboys and the Niners lose, but I don't think that that's worth it enough to them to have some of their guys get hurt. So I kind of think Saturday night, you might not see some of the Eagles' frontline guys. And then even the Cowboys, you know, they'll probably play their guys because they still have a chance at the number 2 seed. You know, if the Bucks were to lose, which I doubt will happen, or if the Rams were to lose, which is a possibility, and maybe it's worth it to the Cowboys to move up. I don't know. I don't know if they'll even feel that way. So it's a weird – there's going to be a lot of those type of decisions, by the way, coming this week. I guess that is probably the team that I still would like to see something from. It's the Cowboys, and it's the Cowboys offensively. I kind of felt like with the way they played Sunday night, last week against Washington, and just were firing on all cylinders offensively, I kind of thought, oh boy, now the Cowboys look like they did before Dak got hurt. You know, they've kind of shook it off now, firing on, but then they were terrible again yesterday. I mean, it was offensively, they are really struggling. Dak is just off, and now Michael Gallup tears his ACL. So I would say, I guess, you know, the Cowboys could impress me if it felt like they were getting their offense back in gear, but I don't really think that's going to happen.
So you mentioned the Bucs, and I think yesterday was a bit of a surprising situation. with the Jets game. They come back and they win. Do you still think that they're a top five team or contenders for the Super Bowl this year?
Yeah. I mean, as long as they have Tom Brady, I do. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. The Antonio Brown thing is really, to me, just sort of sad. I think I said maybe 3 years ago, definitely over 2 years ago, that the behavior was just so erratic. It went so far beyond, like, the diva thing. And to me, seemed pretty clear that there was something mental health going on there. And I don't know if he's talked to anybody or tried to get any help, but the guy clearly, clearly needs some help. And I find it sad more than anything else. I mean, he was so close to getting $1 million more with a couple of easy incentives. I don't know if the Bucks rally around that or not. I think, you know, a lot of how I feel about them, I suppose, depends on who are these guys they get back for the playoffs. Lavonte David, Leonard Fournette, how healthy they are. But, you know, what it comes down to for me is, like, let's look at the first game. It's probably going to be Bucks against it's Bucks against the Eagles. That seems like the most likely scenario. I mean, I'm taking the Bucks, right? And then the next round, it's like Bucks Rams. Well, I'm going to take the Bucks again there. I'm going to take Brady in a clutch situation over Stafford, who was clutch yesterday, but he keeps turning the ball over. So it's one of those things where, you know, from the 30,000-foot view, you're like, yeah, you know what, the Bucks just, they don't look as good. But then when it actually comes down to picking who you think is going to win that game, I'm going to pick the team that has Tom Brady to win most of the games. Even when they go into Green Bay, I think I'll pick the Bucks again.
Yeah. Hey, historically, that move has turned out very well, so you really can't give it too much pushback. I agree, though. It really does feel like we're going off of reputation and, hey, this guy has done this in big games, rather than what the Bucks have been telling us all season long, which is that they're not a team that can go on the road and win, that Tom Brady is now a quarterback that is more reliant on his receivers than he ever has been throughout his career. And now this is the AB part of it that I think got lost in all the noise yesterday, is that guy is someone Tom Brady trusted. That's somebody who Tom Brady wanted in Tampa Bay for a really long time, and who has had some big games for them this year where he looked like a number one receiver. And now without Godwin, and now without Brown, trusting that the Bucks can stay healthy throughout the postseason with just Gronkowski and Evans, who are both Band-Aids, that seems really tough. And I just don't know if they have the horses. I don't know if they have the ability to win on the road. And if Brady ends up winning this thing, it's going to be actually even... I guess this always happens any year. You kind of get older and we do this. But this will be such a bigger accomplishment to me than even last year, where that team was rolling headed into the playoffs, Ross. They were dominating. And then they went into the playoffs and they looked like the best team in football. Their defense was clicking. Now their defense sucks. They gave up that many points to the Jets. Braxton Berrios and the backup running back of New York are just kicking your ass and forcing you to get a last-second drive against the worst defense in football to win a game. Like, I don't know, man. I don't see it. I see a team that is ready to fold out of this thing. And even in that completely flawed NFC, I don't have anything other than Tom Brady that makes me believe that they can get this done, even though that sounds like a really big chip on paper.
Yeah, I mean, I don't remember them. I don't think they were playing great heading into the playoffs last year. I don't remember. I guess you're right. Yeah, after they had gotten whatever their record was, they kind of went on a roll. You're right. But then even that first playoff game against Washington and Taylor Heinicke, it wasn't like, you know, they were some awesome team in that game. So I everything you're saying is correct, and you're probably right. But I'm just telling you how I'm going to pick the games. Yeah. Like, I'm just like it, that all sounds good, yeah, until you're thinking, I'm going to take Matthew Stafford against Tom Brady. Like, I'm not going to do that. And maybe Matthew Stafford will do it. He's never won a playoff game. He's had some gross interceptions the last couple weeks. He's turned it over a bunch. And I actually hope he does it. I actually hope that he does play well and win some playoff games. I'd be happy for him. But I kind of need to see it from him. Or Dak. You know, honestly, with all these guys, I'll believe that they're going to beat Aaron Rodgers or Brady when I actually see him do it.
Yeah. Okay, so this brings me to my take of the day. And it sucks because Stafford ends up having that clutch second half where I don't think he threw an incompletion. So it hurts it a little bit. But my only counter would simply be that it was against a team that is down to, like, I think you're up to play in the secondary next for the Ravens, right? Like, you're at least on a call sheet where they look at you and go, hey, Ross, we might need you. They're beat up. It's just a really, really beat up team with their backup quarterback, and they needed a last second drive to get this thing done. To me, Matthew Stafford is kind of NFL Russell Westbrook, where he is the good stats guy that at the end of his career, people are going to go, wow, look at his stats. He averaged a triple-double throughout an entire year of his career, or 2 years of his career. Wow, he was a part of Calvin Johnson, and then he was a part of Cooper Kupp. This guy must have been amazing. But I watched Matthew Stafford his entire career, and I'm watching what he was supposed to be with this Rams team at the beginning of the season, which was he's going to win MVP, and him and McVay, they're down in Florida together, or sorry, I can't remember where it was, Mexico together, and they're having dinners, and so much better than Jared Goff. To me, he's looked like Jared Goff has looked with that Rams team. There hasn't been that big of a difference, and I kind of feel as though he's just a good stats guy who actually isn't very good and that you cannot win with him. What do you think of this comparison? Have I gone off the, like, am I close?
I've heard that before, actually. I've heard people suggest that he's kind of like a stat guy. I would say it's a fair comparison. However, I was really impressed with how he played in the second half yesterday and some of the clutch throws he made. He bounced back. He bounced back and showed me something yesterday. But your comparison, I think, is apt until he actually goes ahead and does it in the playoffs. I think people will continue to feel that way. So it's kind of, I mean, he's trying to get number two seed for sure, but it's kind of, the proof will be in the pudding with what he does in the playoffs. If he wins a playoff game or two, I think your comparison will have less value. If he loses in the first round or plays poorly, I think everybody will be jumping on what you're saying.
Well, Ross, we wish you a happy new year, and thank you for always coming on and providing us the best context and insight, and we'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, my pleasure. Kudos to you guys for working, even though everybody else is off up there. You guys are
awesome. Yeah, we're grinding.
I love it.
No days off here, man.
That's right.
Just guys. Like you.
Thanks. See you, Ross. That Insider is brought to you by Don Valley North Lexus, where you can expect excellence online and in the showroom. Visit DonValleyNorthLexus.com.
What do you guys think about my Matt Stafford as Russell Westbrook take? Because I actually thought if I was going to sit down, if they went, hey, JD, you're doing first take this week. this is your first week on NFL today. We need a spin zone take from you that you can do in 2 minutes at the desk or 30 seconds at the desk. I kind of feel like this one is perfect.
I mean, yeah, it could be one of those Instagram videos that you do. What are they?
Take it or leave it.
Take it or leave it. Well, I'm waiting for it. But, yeah, I think you're onto something, especially when Ross Tucker says he's heard it before and he agrees, and you're onto something.
I think he meant he's heard the stats comparison thing before.
Oh,
that, but
okay.
He's a stat guy, not the Russell Westbrook mm-hmm. comparison before. I'll have to go. I'm not actually going to go through. I'm going to say this is original, and if anybody else had it, too bad. no, but, yeah, this is – so the reason why I guess I compared the two of them is, to me – they are just these unbelievably polarizing players where some people tell me they're good and they go, man, Russell Westbrook's so good. Man, Russ, he's so good. And then I watch Russell Westbrook play his whole career and all he's ever done is make amazing players around him worse. He played with Kevin Durant, worse. Killed Kevin Durant's Oklahoma City career. Killed it. The only guy that was better-ish around Russell Westbrook was Paul George when it was just, hey, Paul, you just go get your own thing. Like, Victor Oladipo left Russell Westbrook and went and got himself a legitimate contract, had himself a real NBA career. Now you're seeing this with LeBron James. LeBron right now is having just statistics that are insane. And it's one of the saddest things in sports is how LeBron James is playing in his age 37 season, and yet he's next to Russell Westbrook, and he just cannot win. And I don't think it's as bad as Matt Stafford in terms of Matt Stafford doesn't make people better. Obviously, he does that. He's a quarterback. He gives people the ball. It's the thing that he does primarily. So it's not a perfect comparison. But it is one of those things where at the end of Matthew Stafford's career, he's probably going to go in the Hall of Fame. And I'm going to feel the same way I felt about NBA writers putting Russell Westbrook as one of the best 75 NBA players who ever lived. Like, if that's your vote, I actually cannot respect you as a basketball person. Like, I just can't. He's not one of the best 75 NBA players who ever lived. It's a sport where the best players win, and he's not a winner. And this is a position where the best players win, and Matthew Stafford is not a winner. He hasn't been all – he's winning barely against this beat-up Ravens team.
Yeah, so Stafford, I mean, the big thing is the counting stats, right? It's the accumulation.
Stafford's
still only 33. Mm-hmm. This week, he'll very likely become the 12th quarterback in NFL history to pass for 50,000 yards. He's got at least a couple seasons left where teams will, especially, I mean, he's coming off he's 12-4 right now. And as much as you might say he doesn't move the needle a ton, like, the replacement level he replaced in with the Rams is pretty significant. So he's got a couple years left.
What did the Rams finish all those years under Goff? They were similar to 12-4. Like,
no, I know. I'm saying, you know, stat wise. Well, not even stat wise. Just like confidence level wise. Like, they were 9-7 and 10-6 the last 2 years. I guess they've been there for a while. But
yeah.
Anyway, my point is mostly just that, like, Stafford's been effective enough that he's got a couple years left to continue padding this stuff. He is under 500 for his career and has played 3 playoff games. I know that there's a lot of Lions mess in there, but it's hard to marry 12th player in NFL history with 50,000 yards and probably 3-4 years left of adding on to those stats and below 500 for his career. It's not just on the quarterback, but it's like, those things don't go well together.
Yeah, I don't see it with Stafford. I've never seen it. And again, it's just the same feeling I have with Russell Westbrook, where I'm watching these two guys and some people see something that I just do not see. I just see something completely different. And I do remember at the very beginning of the season, people writing columns about Matthew Stafford winning MVP, and we all acknowledge that the most important piece in that offense is Cooper Kupp. And we all look at the way that record has been. This division shouldn't be coming down to the final week against the Arizona Cardinals, and I shouldn't be feeling like that Cardinals team that is not very good has a very, very realistic chance at beating them. And so if Matthew Stafford goes out there and he wins a Super Bowl and he wins a couple playoff games, fine. I will change my tune on this because new information will come in. But as of right now, I do not believe the Rams are going to win a Super Bowl, and it's not because of any other part of their roster. Their receivers are amazing. Their offensive line plays well. Their defense has some of the greatest playmakers in the NFL, and I don't trust the quarterback. And sneakily, I trust the head coach way less than I used to. I think McVay sometimes can get into his feelings during games, that he's a bit of an emotional head coach, that he's a little overrated in terms of his in-game adjustments. I don't know. I don't think that the Rams are the team that they were supposed to be. I did bet against them too on the spread, so that was nice. Let's take a break.
Yeah, I love that as a segue. So this team is dramatically disappointing. I hate them. I'm disappointed in them. I don't like them at all. But it's good eating
money.
Money, and they are a good team usually to bet against. So let's take a break. Let's come back, and let's wake and rake. Let's make our bets for today, and tragedy strikes as some streaks come to an end. That's next on the Fan Morning Show. Vic's back on his A game. He's back, baby.
That song always reminds me of Empire Records.
Yeah,
I know.
I gotta rewatch it.
Yeah, I know it's not the Flying Lizards version. I don't think, but
no one would have known that. You're the only person that would have gotten or that. Like, you're on a list of like 10 people, but Empire
those
Records.
10 people care deeply.
100%. Hey, I actually am glad you did it, because that is how you sell, baby. Is you connect. Yeah. You connect in this medium. You connect with.
We've
weird
got a couple
like
people
that.
At home now going Rex Manning Day.
Mm-hmm. And we have some people listening to the podcast going, I have no idea what's going on. But again, you can follow Blake's Spotify playlist, and it gives you all the tracks from the week. So,
That's only on Fridays. It's only the aux cord that makes it to the Spotify playlist.
Well, then, too bad you don't even know what that song is, and no one will ever know, and you'll never – you'll go to your grave without knowing. Yeah, I always look back on some of those movies from my youth that I heard a lot about and then watched, and they didn't live up to the hype, and then just buried them into oblivion and didn't care. And Empire Records is one of those where I feel like I need to rewatch it. I think I'll like it more than the one time I watched it probably in like 2003 and was expecting it to be a life-changing movie, and I didn't really. So, speaking of life-changing, Blake and I had 7 in a row best bets against the spread. Blake had 9 picks in a row for our Wake and Rake parlay, both shattered heading into the weekend. I will admit that my under in our Wake and Rake parlay did hit, and I felt a little better because Blake has been winning so many times for us and I've been losing that it was nice to balance the scale just a little bit, not have it be my fault. Ailish, did yours hit?
Yes.
Washington? So
it sure
so Blake,
did.
So Blake...
In regulation, yeah.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying is at least the two of us can say Blake was at fault for once in our Wake and Rake parlay.
Cool Bet Chris gave us a pick that was not available. So,
we didn't count.
Everything's gray and or everything's green and red in the tracker. He's got a gray cell.
No,
because I could not find that to bet on.
No, cool Bet Chris. Just this is what it's like betting with that guy. Truly, it's just you're flying by the seat of your pants. Is he'll hit you with some random curling thing, and then you go, okay, this is the lock of my life, and then it ends up losing. And then he'll have these weird bets where I'm telling him, hey, what do we think about this game? He'll have no information on it, and then he'll randomly hit. He's lunatic.
How did the darts end up?
Darts were all him. And the crazy thing about darts is I lost first
did
darts
you win
bet.
This oh, weekend?
Ailish.
Well, the championship is today.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, let's go.
The championship is today, but now it's basically the way I was winning this wasn't by picking one-off winners. It was by parlaying 3 favorites.
Right, right, right.
And nailing those, sometimes 2, but 2 or 3 favorites, parlaying them and eviscerating. I was joking with Blake. I called him yesterday before when we were trying to set up the end of our show, and I mentioned that basically my entire weeks have been raking off of every single sport, then getting to Sunday and getting absolutely pummeled on a Sunday. Because I gave the caveat for my best bet this week of, hey, I'm only making this Dolphins pick if A.J. Brown didn't play. It was my big thing. I said, I like 3.5 if there's no A.J. Brown. He plays, but it doesn't matter because my second best bet was the Bucks. I thought Tom Brady, after a bad week, was just going to roll a crappy Jets team, and he barely got by. In fact, he couldn't even cover 6.5, which killed the Coward's parlay. I think I just have to pivot to prop betting on the NFL because it's the only thing that I'm good at. The spreads and the money lines just this year have been horrendous to me. But yeah, Blake's loss was actually won me money because I'm going to admit I didn't take the spread, but I did take the money line in that Bulls game, and it closed out
right.
a parlay.
I got greedy.
Yeah, and
I got greedy.
And it happened because DeMar DeRozan hit a buzzer beater 3 off 1 foot, one of the plays of the year. And then DeMar does it again the next game, another walk-off. So, Blake, you know, you lost money and you lost a Wake and Rake parlay, but that was just about the sweetest way that you could ever lose a bet, right? Like, it was amazing. Like, other than doing the actual happiness hedge where you bet against your favorite teams, I feel like DeMar DeRozan is still this city's athlete of we want nothing but success for him.
Yeah, so this is, you know, for anyone who's new to sports gambling talk or whatever, this is an ultimate sports fan versus sports bettor
yes.
weekend with DeMar DeRozan where he comes down and the Bulls are down 1 to the Pacers, and I have Bulls... I think it was -4.5 at the time of the show, but -3.5 when I bet it. So what you're hoping for as a bettor who has Bulls -3.5 there, obviously he can't hit a 5-point shot. What he could do though is get fouled, hit 1 free throw, and go to overtime where it's much easier to cover. They then played the Wizards the next day, and I had the Bulls spread again, and this time they're down 2. So you're like, oh, ooh, hit a 2, go to overtime. It's even more possible. He hits both of these incredible, incredible threes. The one against Washington, some of the photo work on that shot where he's in the corner.
It was like Keyshawn was
with
there.
It was incredible. And I'm so happy for DeMar, and it's nice to see the Bulls back winning. They've won 7 in a row now, I think, to get to the top of the Eastern Conference. So I'm okay with losing that one because, one, if you went the money line, it still would have qualified for our, you know, had I just said Bulls money line, it would have been
you
a
can't
W.
Can't redeem yourself.
Yeah, like there's
I'm saying why I'm okay with it. Yeah. I'm okay with it.
If that's
how you're going to go down.
Yeah, I'm okay with it.
That's how you're
going
to go down. That's how I'm okay going down that way.
I said in our year in review show that I predicted DeMar to get MVP, and it's looking even more like a lock or something.
Well, I wouldn't say a lock.
Something you should bet on, folks, is what I'm saying. So hopefully I sound good in like 2 months.
DeMar averaging 27-5-5, basically. The most efficient season of his, well, not maybe not most efficient overall, but like given the volume at play and given the role he's taking on, like almost unquestionably
his best
season.
No, it's 100% unquestionably his best season. And if I'm being dead honest, DeMar had 2 seasons in San Antonio that were arguably better than any one of them that he had in Toronto, including when he made the All-NBA team, All-NBA third team. He scored like 27 a game that year with the Raptors and just was like an amazing offensive player. Ailish, what do you got on this?
He's plus 2,800 to win MVP.
Yeah. I still wouldn't bet that because I think Steph Curry
just
is a mortal lock.
Come on. Just $5.
What are you? Just five bucks, guys. I gotta give you $5 to bet a losing bet. I think it's Steph Curry and then Kevin Durant.
Yeah, and I think Jokic is gonna be in the mix too, with Denver hanging around the middle of the Western Conference with no player. I know. You could bet on, and I hope the NBA I hope books move to this eventually. Is like, you know how in horse racing you can bet the win or bet the place?
Yeah.
I wish you could do that for MVP. I wish you could do that for MVP. It's like, okay, the voters, it's 100 voters, it's 5 MVP slots, and we generally talk about the top 5 MVP as how, like, that's what the league will put out, the top. Obviously, they'll name 3 finalists in the weird way they do, even though we already know the results at that point.
We should ask
I wish
cool
you could bet
Chris
on DeMar to place.
To add that. Let's add it to Cool Bet Chris's projects, okay?
The problem is that it's such a hard thing to handicap, right? I don't know how you would handicap that, but
The same way you do MVP, you just have to take a broader scope to it, right?
But 2 things. One, I love that idea. That's one of the best ideas that anyone has had on the show ever, what Blake just said of changing the MVP betting. Number 2 is, Ailish, we definitely need to make a segment called Come On, Just $5.
Just $5.
Where you pitch us on some extremely long shot bet.
I love this. That's all I do.
Because the sales pitch is actually pretty good. Just come on, $5. Like,
just
I've had
a Starbucks today. Just throw $5 on the bet.
That's what I mean. It's a really good sales pitch of come on, $5. Because who wants to be left out of the bet that hits that was, come on, just $5, right? Mm-hmm. That's a really – so that goes down now as one of the segments – in this block. So no, I'm going to start with this. Somebody was right about the Browns season win total. And that somebody was me who said the Browns were frauds before the season started, who said Baker Mayfield is not good at football, which has proven to be pretty damn accurate. It's funny. I love that Browns team. I just think Baker stinks. And I even had a guy that, you know, messages me all the time on all the platforms telling me about how he still believes in Baker Mayfield. And I'm like, I cannot believe that there are some Stockholm Syndrome Browns fans that still think that, like, Baker Mayfield is good. If there's one thing you should know, Browns fans, like, that's the only thing you should know is that you cannot keep Baker Mayfield around. My God. But we have a football game tonight that is irrelevant now. Just your overall feel about betting on a game now where these teams were kind of gearing up to have something happen. You think the Bengals are facing the Chiefs. This is going to be a win. You get this W, and now it's playoff time. It's not happening. Does it alter in any way that you are going to bet this game? Because the line has really, really shifted from Browns minus 3.5 to now Browns as underdogs plus 1.5.
Yeah, I think that I'm going to go this will be my wake and rake too, but gonna bet the under. It's at 42. I just think that, like, yeah, less on the line. It's just like less exciting. I feel like it's an under for me. Like, I don't see anything crazy happening. I feel like it's gonna be boring. So you should watch it. That's my sell.
I like the first half under.
Yeah, there'll be a Manning cast though, so they're back, and Aaron Rodgers is on it. Are they trying to break the curse because he's playing the Lions next week? We'll see.
Well, I actually thought the opposite. I think they're leaning it. So the Packers have nothing to play for next week.
Mm-hmm.
They've locked up the number one seed in that conference and the bye and home field and everything. I think they're maybe leaning into it, and it's like, look, if it's going to happen, it's going to happen. Yeah, because, like, the Lions are also in a spot where, like, the Lions kind of want to lose that game, but there's, like, the Colts are in a must-win against the Jaguars next week, so the Jaguars are definitely going to lose. So the Lions can't – if the Jaguars lose, the Lions can't get the number one pick. They can't fall any lower than two, so there's not a ton of risk to the Lions, like, trying to win that game. It's also, like, a scenario where it's week 18. A lot of these guys are playing for jobs and auditioning for next year and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
If the Packers lay down and don't play their guys, I don't know. I think maybe they're teasing the Manning curse more than they are trying to get away from it. By the way, sorry, Ailish, you said Browns Steelers under 42 is your wake and rake?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay. So
just $5.
Well, no, wake and rake is
put in the wake and rake.
I have consistently put more than the old $5 down on the wake and rake. I am
thrown in there, JD.
Well, I definitely have the I don't really love to bet this game vibe from just how it's gone. I think the Browns are the better football team. I really do. I think the Browns, again, are a competent team that is being weighed down by one of the league's worst quarterbacks who has no discernible specialty. Baker Mayfield, that's always what I look at with quarterback. Oh, is this guy the big arm quarterback? Is this a scrambling quarterback? Is this an accurate quarterback? Is this a thinking quarterback? What is it that makes you special? Is it tough? It's like none. You know what Baker Mayfield is? He's the commercial quarterback. For some reason, he's just the quarterback you see the most. Imagine being like Lamar Jackson going, sorry, why am I not in all these commercials? Like, why are these not all mine? It's Baker. Baker's the quarterback we're putting in here. Joe Burrow has got to be sitting there going, okay, everybody just watch what I did against the Chiefs, right? Like, can we all agree that State Farm or whatever it is that Baker Mayfield is doing next is no longer the case and that I can have this? To me, this is going to be too random with no stakes that all of a sudden the biggest stake is that it's Ben Roethlisberger's last home game. So to me, what I think is that the receivers are especially going to be locked in. So tonight, I don't think that any of these are up right now. So this is why it's kind of a bit of a cheat. But I'm looking at things like Diontae Johnson yards. And I like that kind of a play. I think that this is a game where Ben is going to feed the receiver that he likes the most. And that if he wants to pad some stats, Ben loves his, here's some yards after the catch. And so for me, this is about Ben. This is about the Steelers. This is about their offense that has been bad and inconsistent all year long. So I will be looking at Diontae Johnson reception props. I'm going to guess his number is going to come in around 6.5, 5.5. And his yards total, I'm going to guess, is going to come somewhere in around the 75.5 range.
Ooh, it's 71.
Okay, yeah. Oh, so they are up. Okay, so
71.5 for receiving yards, and then reception 6.5. You're good at this.
Yeah, I know. I'm telling
degenerate.
Yeah. But you know what though? I'm so glad that I'm going to take the over on the yards because, like I said, I pictured it coming in around 75.5. It's at 71.5. I think I'm getting a few free yards there. So my wake and rake contribution today will be Diontae Johnson. By the way, you can do this in Bet Builders if you don't know how to do these. If you don't know how to parlay these, like Cool Bet as Bet Builders, just hit me up. I'll hit you with a promo code if you've never gotten one before. But yeah,
can
there's
I have
a little
another
tap.
One?
You cannot. Yes, you already gotten it.
I'm struggling.
Yeah. Oh, why are you struggling? We've been so profitable. Like Blake and I have been really, really profitable. I don't know how it's possible. Are you just deviating from the group? Are
Maybe.
You just doing your own thing? Just what are you doing on your own here? So I'm going to go with Deontay Johnson over in yards. I think that that's the one for me. Over 71.5. That just feels right to me tonight. Go out with a bang, Big Ben. Deontay Johnson, don't drop the rock, okay? You've been a drop guy in the past. Don't drop the rock tonight.
All right. So, do you want me to get real degenerate here?
Of course.
What do you mean?
My submission for the Wake and Rake is in the World Darts Championship.
Oh my God.
Smith and Wright for the match over 31.5 180s. The logic here being this projects as about as close a darts match as you can get. Wright is averaging 0.01 points more than Smith right now, but they're both killing it in the 180s. Wright just set the record with 24 in the semifinals, and this projects as an extremely close match. Smith is a plus 113 dog, but basically the closeness of this match suggests that we're going to get enough legs here to there are some places in England that are suggesting that the 180s record for the entire tournament might be broken, but I'm going with the over on 180s at 31.5. It's minus 143. Feels like a safe bet if this is anywhere as close as they're projecting it to be. And then, yeah, it's a little something to cheer for while I watch it later.
I'm 100% going to bet. Well, I mean, I'm going to bet it in the Wake and Rake, which is, can I just say something right now? This is my favorite Wake and Rake that we've done. I'm going to admit something, though, also publicly, that I'm going to tease Ailish's number. I'm not going to take it at 42. I'm going to tease it up to, like, around 45, 45.5. If you look at NFL key numbers, 45.5, 46.5, those are like big time in terms of games percentages that
I will accept
that underneath it. And so I'm probably going to be looking to tease those as long as they don't go crazy. Most people don't like really teasing totals, but I think in one like this, I'm gonna do that because I really love the darts pick. It's because I'm back.
Sorry, what did you say you're going to tease it to?
I think I'm going to tease it to 45 or 46.5, depending on the value swing.
Yeah, though that's still under 200.
Yeah.
If you tease it to under 46.5, it's minus 182. So I think for the purposes of Wake and Rake, we should probably leave it at under 42. But there is room to tease it further if you'd like.
Don't get mad at me if it doesn't hit and you did the under 42, because JD said
42.5, rather. Sorry.
Yeah, he was gonna to do what he did, so it's half his fault.
Ailish, now, oh my God, now you doing that has put bad vibes into the universe.
Like, oh, no.
No, it's my fault, and now it's your fault where you're like, and then JD did what he did.
It's okay. We're going to hit.
Yeah.
We are going to hit. Woo! World Darts Championship over 31.5, 180s combined.
180. Oh, my God. I can't
Steelers wait. And Browns under 42.5. Deontay Johnson over 71.5 yards. That's your Wake and Rake for today.
Who would object to the World Darts Championship being every 6 months? Like,
honestly,
have it twice. Who can have it every month? Who cares? You're the World Darts Champion every month. What does that matter? Just do it. Do it more. World Darts Championship is. You want to talk about ways we become sports fans in a different way from that was one of our segments on our last show before 2021. Like, I feel like when we do our 2022 wrap up show, it's going to be how all three
we
of us
darts fans.
We're the ones who are trying to pitch Netflix on the darts series, and we're writing it. Yeah.
You know how we're all locked down again? Well, we all got dartboards in our living rooms now. And I used to have one in my garage when I was growing up, which was sweet.
Yeah, that is sweet.